The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada at the D. It's happening. Good?
Not much, man. Not much.
We have any Wu-Tang updates, by the way? Anything from that? No, nothing? Someone was asking me yesterday.
No, except I did watch. Have you heard of this tiny desk thing?
Oh, sure, of course. Did they do one?
They did one.
Oh, no.
They did one. I watched it.
Oh, no.
I went down that rabbit hole like last week. I watched like 4 of those. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh,
clearly, they've been
totally
doing it for years.
Thing. Oh, and, yeah, it's great.
You know, like normal human beings probably know all about it, but like we just lock in on sports.
Like 25 minutes of your favorite artist doing something in a small space.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Some of the people I went through. But yeah, Wu-Tang was one of them. They were one of them.
We'll see. On the show today, speaking of Wu-Tang, Steve Fezzik's on the show today. I have no idea what that just meant. Steve Fezzik will be here. He'll talk about his bracket tenets, little NIT thought from him and how he bets that. He's got all kinds of philosophies on stuff, as Stevie does. So he'll be here beginning next hour. We're thrilled to have him. We're always thrilled to have him in the studio.
Love Steve.
Yeah.
He's always a guy you can learn from.
Oh, he's the best.
Be entertained from.
Fantastic radio. Patrick and Dustin have him on Sharp Money all the time.
Yep. So yeah, every Monday.
So lucky for them. And so we get a dose of that this morning with Stevie, the only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner. He'll be on later on the show. Jason Weingarten, of course. Drew Dinsick on the NBA, college hoops, tennis, I don't know, golf. We'll see what we'll talk to Drew about coming up. Bunch of stuff here. One, can I start with a bet? Is that allowed? With a tennis bet?
Go for it.
Having a great tennis year, as y'all know. Just shy of 20 units to the positive in match play. A little up on the futures as well, as Iga's gone 2 for 2. Back at Miami, we're in the Miami Open starting today on the ladies' side. Miami Open is the second half of what they call the Sunshine Double in tennis, which is Indian Wells in California, and then Miami begins here, basically week-and-a-half tournaments, if you will. They're about as close to slams, at least, you know, Indian Wells called the fifth slam by de facto, the tennis's fifth slam, but Miami is not too far behind that. So the Sunshine Double, Iga won this Sunshine Double a couple years ago. It's only been done 4 times where someone has won both at Indian Wells and at Miami on the ladies' side. Iga's trying to do it for the second time. I think only Steffi Graf has done it twice before. I took her, and let me just admit this up front. We're getting to the point with Iga where the numbers to win the tournaments are getting really comically short now. She's plus 175, or that's what I got her at yesterday, to win the Miami Open. And even I will admit that this is getting to a number that gets a little dicier. From the days of hitting her at 33-1s in tournaments, you know, down to double digits, low double digits, to high single digits, to couple bucks now, you know, $2 or $3 now, or plus 175 to win the Miami Open. I did this sort of out of I just didn't want to not have it obligation. Is it a sound mathematical wager? I probably could tell you that it's not. But plus 175 is what I got it yesterday. As it turns out, it's a better price than it is this morning. And a tick of that has to do with this unbelievable tragedy that happened. Arina Sabalenka's boyfriend died.
And yeah, I saw that.
42 years old, so yeah. I don't know if she's playing or not. But for whatever reason, Iga's number incrementally went down. I wouldn't play her at anything lower than what I got her at. So if you can find a straight plus 175. It was only available, that number, at a few shops here yesterday. William Hill, Boyd, and Stations. Everybody else was even shorter. So I do have that in pocket. But as far as a play today, this is one where it's, you know, I do everything based off the raw data. This is one where it's like, okay, Simona Halep hasn't played tennis in almost 2 years, at least hasn't played a hardcore tournament in over a year and a half. When she did play back in the day, oh, she was very good. Very good. She won her appeal from doping, so she's back on tour. This is her first match back, and she's playing Paula Badosa. I got her at minus 130, talking about Simona Halep now. Simona Halep, who was a top 10 player in the world, got her at minus 130 yesterday. She's about minus 136 now. Still playable. I wouldn't let it get past the minus 130s, though. Don't let it do that. And the reason I'm going ahead and taking a flyer on this, even though she hasn't played a hardcore tournament or a hardcore match in over a year and a half, is because Badosa is chronically hurt. And this is one of those situations where it's sad to say about Badosa, who was really at the top of her game a few years back, but she's got multiple injuries that she's been dealing with, calf, abductor. The latest is a lower back stress fracture in her L4 vertebrae, and she's still dealing with that. She dealt with it all the second half of last year. So if she were in perfect health, I probably wouldn't play this, but since she's not, Halep's the better player, more reliable here even. Yeah, she's been practicing the whole time she's been out. So Halep is the play at minus 130. I would play her still at minus 135 or minus 136, whatever she is right now. So that's a comeback to tennis play after what was a great, absolutely great tournament for us at Indian Wells.
What did they ever figure out with her? Was there anything more that happened with her appeal and coming back to the tour?
Tennis players, when they appeal their doping bans, have an unbelievably high rate of having that appeal successful.
How long was she out for?
She was out for 9 months, I believe.
You and I have had this conversation a lot of, like, there's people that, especially in this town, that just sue for everything, and I don't really understand it, but oh my gosh, would I be suing some people if I was Simona Halep?
Yeah.
Like, you kept me out of that game that I can make a lot of money in for 9 months?
On the other hand, you're so happy to be back and you can make money playing if you're that good. Do you even bother with that?
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah, I would.
Well, I don't know if Simona Halep will.
I would. I can't find anything on Sabalenka. I mean, it's tough to believe that she'd be playing, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, her father died a few years ago, was 43 years old, and her boyfriend at 42 dies, and it's just awful.
She is not currently listed as a match to bet at DraftKings, and the futures are down as well.
Not that Swiatek wasn't the short shot with Sabalenka in, but that would remove, obviously, and we hate to even... I get it as we're talking about this. It's the most callous thing in the world. The man died, and we're talking about betting implications. But that is the corner of the world from which we come. The other thing that happened yesterday big time was Blake Snell. Yankees? Nope. San Francisco Giants. And I believe we talked about this. We did last week when I had the Bengals division bet. I also told you I made the three Giants bets. And one of the things I mentioned was, and there's the outside shot that they end up with Blake Snell. And they do. So the Giants numbers, I have the World Series. I have them win the World Series at 53+1. It's 40-1 now. Happen to win the NL at 27-1. It's 21-1 now. And to make the playoffs, I had +172. That's a little shorter now, +146. Not nearly as sexy. And of course, as I noted then, no chance in you know where that I'll ever play them to win the division, because they ain't beaten the Dodgers over 162 games. But somebody's got to make it as a wild card in the NL. And if you have a team like the Giants, this is even before Snell, I thought those were good numbers. And they do get Snell. It's a two-year deal. On paper, it's a two-year deal for $62 million. 10 days before the team opens its regular season against his former one, the San Diego Padres, Jeff Passan was the first to report that. The deal does include an opt-out after the first season, though, for Snell. So it's really a one-year deal. But when you're talking about the Giants now, by the way, Snell's their number two starter. He ain't their number one. Logan Webb is your one, Blake Snell two, Kyle Harrison three. All of a sudden, your rotation looks pretty good. And by the way, I'm the first guy to say that Blake Snell winning the Cy Young. You know me. I was on Strider. Snell did the most smoke and mirrors job ever to win a Cy Young last year. Do I expect him to be able to do that again next year, this coming year, starting in 10 days? I do not. But you don't go from smoke and mirrors to necessarily sucking.
Yeah, he's still
a spectrum.
Good pitcher, yeah.
So you still add that arm in that rotation. That's great. Not to mention the fact that the Giants, who were offensively anemic last year, and Adam Burke wrote a beautiful piece. He was doing all his MLB previews. He happened to send me yesterday, before the Snell signing, sent me his Giants one yesterday. And he did a fantastic. I mean, he does the best baseball previews that are out there. And I'm serious, like ever. But he also points out, of course, offensively, Jorge Soler and Matt Chapman added in terms of power. Are they going to lead the league in homers? They're not. But for the Giants, that's a huge power boost. And Matt Chapman, as Adam points out, had the best hard hit percentage in all of baseball. Barrel percentage is great. Hard hit percentage is the best in all of baseball. So he actually deserved better in Toronto. Of course, Farhan Zaidi and the Giants noticed such things. And then Jung-Hoo Lee from the Korean League, who's a contact hitter. So offensive and for reinforcements as well. So I like the Giants and all those plays. Again, not to win the division. No. Even the most Giants diehard will tell you that ain't gonna happen. But to make the playoffs, and then once the playoffs happen, this is the thing about baseball. When you hear someone say, oh, I happen to win the World Series and to win the pennant, it's not as nutty as you think because there's best of threes and best of fives. And so teams that are far better over 162, as we've discussed incessantly, can fall. And so that's why the Giants are a trio of bets for me. Everything but the division, quite frankly. I didn't bet the season win total either. So it's playoffs, NL, and World Series for me. You have an NBA bet?
Yes, I do. Real shocker here. I'm on the Pelicans tonight. I feel like I've bet them like 8 times in the past 2 weeks. They're on the road against the Nets, laying 7.5 right now. I did lay 7 with them. This is a team in New Orleans who is red hot right now. You are talking 6-1 in their last 7, second best net rating in the league over that time. Top 3 offensively and defensively. Brooklyn, I've been picking on for the past couple months, it feels like, at this point, but they are in a rough spot right now, 3-6 over their last 9, bottom 10 offense and defense, what they're looking like right now. A couple days of rest for the Pelicans, so they got a bunch of games they're playing this week. Rolling into Brooklyn tonight, I think they're going to smash the Nets. I'll be looking for first half when it gets posted as well. Pelicans been one of the best first half teams in the league the entire season.
All right. We'll talk a bunch of college basketball coming up with Steve Fezzik. Drew Dinsick as well, who will join us next. Also going to talk, see if he has any tennis plays, I should say, as well. But also NBA, and yeah, he wasn't willing to have a Victor Wembanyama Defensive Player of the Year conversation with me a couple weeks back. Will he now? Just throw some more stats. Utah seemed to do okay defensively without Gobert again last night. What do you know? Huh. That's interesting.
Minnesota.
Drew's next. Numbers Game. Visa. The Sports Betting Network. The tournament tips off. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game, folks.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Got to use ANG, though. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You faked me out.
Been tightening them up on you recently. Yeah.
That's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Gil Alexander. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Drew Dinsick. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. He's the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Drew and Andy Molitor, and, of course, the NBC Sports beautiful podcast, Bet the Edge, with Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Drew?
I am tremendously well. It was not exactly a rest and recuperating weekend for me. I went down to Savannah, celebrated St. Patrick's Day with my brother and his friends. And I tell you what, man, I thought I knew cities that knew how to throw a party. And Savannah, St. Patrick's Day is it's encroaching on the number one power-rated party experience as far as like just, you know, Mardi Gras in Vegas or, you know, Mardi Gras in New Orleans or, you know, March Madness weekend in Vegas coming up, you know, like there's like certain experiences and I'm starting to sort it all out. But boy, oh boy, 200th anniversary of their St. Patrick's Day parade. And it was a wild scene.
You nonchalanted that. You're talking about Savannah, Georgia, I assume. You went from California to Savannah? Yeah, like I just went down
to
Savannah.
Sure, yeah. Got back last night, yep.
Savannah, very underrated party town.
Yeah,
I have not done the St. Patty's Day yet, Drew, but I've been there a couple times and had a very good time in that city.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The always traveling Drew Dinsick. What a life he leads. It's a very interesting life. and good on you. Let's talk. We have a bunch of sports to talk about here, Drew. Let's talk real quick about tennis. I mentioned Aryna Sabalenka's boyfriend has passed away. Not sure if she's playing or not. Do you have any tennis plays today at all?
We're still qualifying, right? The actual action starts on Wednesday, I believe. The women start today. Okay.
Yeah.
Men's is still qualifying.
That's correct.
No, that tells you that I have not handicapped the first round of this tennis tournament.
Okay.
I've only looked at the macro stuff. And honestly, like when the news hit the wire about Sabalenka's boyfriend, I mean, I would be absolutely blown away if she plays here. And like, man, I'm digging hard for details on exactly what happened there. If that was just like accidental death, like, You know, they were partying and fentanyl got in the, you know, the party stash or whatever. Like, that's one thing, I guess. But, like, you know, she's got like a weird international, you know, kind of centrally important role with what Belarus is doing, supporting Russia, invading Ukraine, and all sorts of that stuff. And yeah, there could be some weird things going on there that I'm very curious about. I would be blown away, you know, and the fact that it happened in Miami, we'd be absolutely blown away if she plays there. So, you know, the easy and obvious answer was you got to crash Iga's price. I don't think realistically Rybakina or Goff are in good enough form right now to win this tournament, with Rybakina having entirely taken off at Indian Wells, and Coco Gauff's form that we've seen for the entirety of 2024 so far. The rest of the top eight are all huge question marks. Even Sakkari, who is showing some signs of life, is still not good enough to win this tournament. So if you don't have Iga in pocket, I'm probably swinging for the fences here a little bit. I took a 50-1 price on Naomi Osaka, who's in as a protected ranking and gets Cocchioretto round one, and then Svitolina round two, potentially Garcia round three, and then Coco Gauff round four. Like, that's a winnable draw for her. And I know that, like, we're sitting around waiting for something to happen. Come on, Osaka, do something. This is it. Like, this is the court speed and the type of conditions that really favor her game if she's going to emerge, if she's going to win anything or have any, you know, just any good run of form. It's going to have to happen here at Miami, because we are about to go to clay and she does not perform well on clay. And then, you know, if we get into the fall and she hasn't accumulated any points, then she's going to be in a little bit of trouble. The comeback kind of sputters on the vine. So hopeful that Osaka could do something interesting here, but very, very tough to see anyone beating Iga right now.
Yeah, it's a good call on Osaka, though. This is much faster surface here than it was at Indian Wells. And so, yeah, before clay, one final salvo for Naomi to see if she can reach back and get that form that she had that took her to four hardcore Grand Slams back in the day. All right, college hoops. We talked last week about, hey, do you do anything with college hoops? And you're like, no, I wait for the brackets, and then I go crazy. What have you done here? I believe that's a quote, Drew.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bracket, I like, you know, without question, the I think macro thoughts, this looks like a balanced draw, right? There's not there's no region of death. Last year, the West was the region of death, where they put basically everybody with a pulse all in the same region. And then that opened up the entire other side of the bracket. Now, Connecticut came out of the region of death and won the title, so you didn't exactly scoop any you know, huge advantage there. But ultimately, this looks much more balanced. I think the hardest region is Connecticut's region in the East. Surprise, surprise, the committee is challenging the defending title winner, really trying to make them prove it if they can go back-to-back, as opposed to, you know, giving them a well-earned number one seed. But that's fine. I think I hold Ohio State up as the of the best of the twos. I hold Auburn up as a very, very competitive four. I think Northwestern potentially winning that game against FAU, the 8-9 matchup for Connecticut looks tough. So basically, Connecticut looks like they have tests at round of 32, round of 16, and the Elite Eight potentially on tap. If they go through that, congratulations. But I'm going to bet against Connecticut at price. I just think this is, a lot of opportunity for them to find themselves into trouble. And then to me, I look at the West, I see total chaos. That looks like the softest of the regions, because I see North Carolina as a fatally flawed team. They sort of have the not as strong as, say, Purdue. Not as strong as, say, Creighton or Illinois, but they do have one of sort of the telltale signs of upset is on the nigh, and that is that they don't force defensive turnovers at an effectively high rate. They are 307th in the country in turnover rate on defense, and that's a problem, as we talked about last week, because if you come up against a team that is shooting well from three, if you come up against a 6 to 10 point deficit in the second half, like they did against NC State, then you need to be able to force defensive turnovers to give yourself extra possessions. If you are not forcing defensive turnovers, you at least need to be elite at offensive rebounding to give yourself extra possessions. And they're just good at that. So I think North Carolina potentially could get upset before they get too deep into this tournament, which opens the door for something else crazy to happen in the West. I took a shot on St. Mary's to get to the Final Four. Overall, just, the slower tempo that they play at, and their ability to just, just in general create offense in different ways. They're, you know, experienced elite bigs. They're an elite offensive rebounding team. There's just kind of in general a lot to like about St. Mary's for me as a five seed, and I think they match up well against a four seed in Alabama, who's truly like defense optional. So I think St. Mary's can come through the West, and I took a shot there. I think Houston is the team to beat for the tournament broadly. I have outrights on them and have not taken any other, you know, outright winner in that market to this point. And we'll see if I ultimately have kind of talked myself into a terrible bet. But I think the South region is set up very well for them with a relatively weak two seed in Marquette and problematic three seed in Kentucky. And, you know, of the different regions, the 4-5 that I see as the weakest is right there in the South. I think James Madison very well could emerge from that 4-5, 12-13 setup there. And, you know, both Wisconsin and Duke to me are kind of fatally flawed contenders. So I took a shot on James Madison to get to the Sweet 16. And then finally, really, really tough to come up with the answer for the Midwest for me. I know that it looks like they set this up for Purdue to find a little bit of, I don't know what the right word is, but like the Virginia arc, you know, yes, where they get upset 1 year as the 16 seed. And then the next year they go on a run and win a title finally in Eddie's the final season. But they still have a, you know, fundamental flaw in their ability to create defensive turnovers. So if they're playing somebody who's playing well, like best of luck to them. I took a swing on Tennessee in the Midwest, but it's a pretty low confidence swing. So my final four would be Houston over Tennessee. I guess UConn over St. Mary's, and then I have Houston winning the whole thing.
All right. St. Mary's to win their region, JMU to get to the Sweet 16. Not having UConn win the title. Some of the highlights there from Drew. By the way, just refresh my memory. We're in the same survivor pool, yes? Are we?
Oh, yeah. You tipped me to this.
That's right. I forgot.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Yes, way cool.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, really, really cool format. And if you haven't already played College Basketball Survivor, like, you know, look up the rules, start with your friends, or, you know, just ask around, because it is an incredibly fun way to play the tournament.
I'm going to say it's the most fun thing ever, like for anything. Yeah. It is just fantastic because it's multidimensional. You got to make sure you have teams left at the end besides just the survival part of it. NBA, NFL with Drew on the other side. We continue on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Get ready to dominate the brackets. Turn your picks into profits this tournament with the VEASAN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside the guide, you'll find expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis that'll give you the edge you need to outshine the competition. From underdog upsets to championship predictions, the VEASAN Pro Betting Guide will have brackets from hosts and experts, NCAA tournament betting trends, and, of course, best bets for every round of the tournament. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource. Download the VEASAN Pro March Mania Betting Guide today at VEASAN.com/madness. That's VSIN.com/madness. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate the feedback on all this. Christian Marge. Listen to about 7/8 of the Beating the Book March Madness podcast. Awesome again. Threw some pizza money on Todd and Will's joint sleeper Final Four team so I can enjoy the ride too. Yeah, man, that was pretty awesome. Chance Copperpot, great megapod on the tourney. I would just like to point out everyone in Seattle classifies Spokane as the East. It's the other side of the mountain. They're the mortal enemy. Those damn Easterners don't know how to score the basketball. That's a bunch of stuff we referenced on the pod. I say Spokane has some games in the East region. What says East more than Spokane, Washington? Trust the glove. It's notable that many things lack entertainment value if you are not a drinker. No judgment on those that imbibe. Oh, no judgment. I just don't. No judgment whatsoever. Would you agree with that, Kelly? That entertainment value is lost on those of us who do not imbibe sometimes on some stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure.
I mean, like, I'm already telling, like, we were talking about the St. Patty's Day at Savannah. Like, I said I'm someone who does. I would not want to be in that big of a group of people. Are you kidding me? Without a drink in my hand, there's no way I would.
My friends were always amazed that I would go to one of these clubs in Vegas, one of these when we were younger.
Oh, yeah. Like, not drinking? You kidding me? No way.
Completely sober till 5 in the morning. I'm like, what am I? I'm the only normal person here. Sports Pick Magic. Selection Committee takes by Fezzik. one, he has too many zeros to even know, 1 bajillion percent spot on, he says. And real quick here before we get to Jason on these are all about the Beating the Book Megapod, which again, just got a bunch of really kind comments about it. And again, Todd and Will were outstanding on this. Spencer Strider enthusiast, this podcast won me my bracket last year. Hope to run it back. Doug Wedge, who finished second in the DraftKings national contest last year and won $35,000, said, here it is, folks. If there's one Megapod you need to listen to every year, it's this one. And if you don't believe me, watch this video from last year's ANG. That's how good it was. And on with those. There's a bunch to read, but we want to get to Jason. Jason joins us. At Spreadopedia is where you can find him on Twitter. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. Jason comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You fill out your brackets? You like this time of year?
I have not done a bracket yet. I do like this time of year. There's, you know, always good betting opportunities with the games and the first half, second half stuff. So, plenty of stuff to keep me occupied this week. It's also the start of baseball season, I guess.
Also the start of baseball tonight. Do you have a play on either game or on tonight's game in Korea?
I don't. I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. I love baseball, but I like sleep almost equally as much. And 3 a.m. is just not happening for me. We got a long season ahead, so... I'm really not excited about this opening in Korea. I know why they're doing it, but weird. It's too early. It's unnatural.
Yeah, we talked about it, that the A's and the Mariners once did this, but it wasn't a full week out, right?
Like,
it
was I'm totally okay with sending the A's to Korea. In fact, we should leave them there. Because I think Korean baseball might be more their speed with the roster and the money they're spending. But that's the thing, is it's so early, like, I don't know. It's just one game. Enjoy it if you're going to wake up for it, but not the real opening day.
Blake Snell to the Giants move the needle for you?
Yeah. I mean, he had to go somewhere, and he was kind of running out of landing spots. Guess the Giants decided, hey, let's sign another Cy Young pitcher. I think it's a great move for them. Makes them more competitive. Nothing not to like about it, unless you're holding Dodgers futures or something. Which I'm not.
Or if you're holding Yankees futures, right? Like, were you surprised he didn't end up there?
No, I mean, the Yankees are already kind of in a weird spot. You got Garrett Cole, who's injured, and, you know, they're hoping he's going to be back. But, you know, hoping that a guy comes back at full strength 2 months into the season or 3 months into the season, it's already asking a lot. Aaron Judge is kind of... They called it mid-spring beat up, which is a phrase I'd never heard before until they used it on Aaron Judge. But he's not taking swings, and they think he's going to be ready for opening day. So, I mean, these are already some major cracks in the Yankees foundation here. And, you know, there's no guarantee if they falter early, you might have to trade Juan Soto, because, you know, you might not re-sign. So, I don't know. I'm less optimistic about the Yankees as I was maybe a week or two ago.
Let me ask you something that I might have asked you a couple months ago, but I haven't, and since we're on the cusp of the season, give me the club or clubs in either the American League or the National League that aren't the obvious choices that you think can sneak into a postseason berth.
I think the Tigers are pretty popular right now, kind of. You know, they've done a lot of things, brought in guys like Kenta Maeda and Jack Flaherty to kind of make that rotation better, and they're going to be competitive this year. Giants would probably be my other team, obviously adding Chapman and,
there you go,
you know, Snell, and getting Robbie Ray back at some point later in the season is gonna make them competitive. But it's very much a top heavy year in MLB, and, you know, you go into the season and the reality is there's already 10 teams on day one that aren't really contenders and aren't really even competitors at this point.
You got to love your O'Neill Cruz call, because he is, if this were a spring training MVP award, he'd win that, right?
Yeah, he's doing pretty good, you know, checking all the boxes. Now it just comes down to staying healthy and putting up the numbers, and, you know, hopefully he has a breakout year. It's still a pretty tall mountain to climb, but I'm happy with that position there.
Yes. as am I following you on O'Neill Cruz. Okay, you also, we texted yesterday, and you, out of the blue, of course, the text that you sent was, Rose Zhang is playing golf this week. Is that the case?
Yeah, she's back. She's been off or been at school. I don't know what the deal is, but she's back in the field this week. I saw 25-1. I didn't go crazy on it or anything, but I do think she's due for a second win sooner than later.
Rose Zhang on the LPGA Tour, one of Jason's favorites to bet on. Are you betting any random golf besides that?
Not yet. Still early in the week. Gotta go through all that stuff. You know, busy with basketball and everything. And futures, you know, got a whole bunch of futures coming through this week too. So picking up some of those positions. It's really a surprisingly busy week with betting. But no, I have not got the golf yet. It hasn't got to that point.
Do you bet something like the Masters well in advance? Do you have Masters futures?
I have before. This year, no. Not like week to week. A lot of people, you know, a guy wins an event and they try to kind of front run the Masters future. No, I don't really do that. I think there's ample time to bet into a lot of these markets.
All right. And take us through a day. So you, when you come for March Madness, and you may or may not come this week, but I think you're sort of leaning that you will, take us through a day of your March Madness schedule when you're here, and what specific things do you find yourself betting on? Props in game up to first to 15. What do you end up doing?
I tend to go wherever my friends want to go, and lately it's been Circa. And I sit there for 12 to 14 hours at a time, mostly on my phone, betting on my phone, betting on apps on my phone, looking at my phone, texting and telegramming people in other locations on my phone, occasionally going upstairs to the Chinese restaurant to eat some brisket fried rice. But my gambling is basically me sitting there looking at my phone, clicking buttons and responding to messages for hours at a time. It is probably one of the least exciting things you could possibly imagine. It's not even very photogenic at all. It's really just a bunch of dudes sitting at a table,
yeah,
looking at their phones.
Yeah. Let me just say this, Kelly. It's a large sum of money that is being bet from that particular table.
That part's true. It's a lot of fun. It's very enjoyable. It's just, you know, it's not like the people think you're going to put a camera in front of people and it's going to be awesome and fun. It's just dudes sitting on their phones.
But it is a great, even as you say, we sit there for 12 to 14 hours. I think, like everybody listening to that, I'm just thinking to myself, yes, like all of us. And what a glorious time it is.
Yeah. It's great. Get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay it. It sounds awesome. I hope I'm there. You know, I'm going to try to be there Thursday afternoon.
All right, Jason, we look forward to seeing you. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you. Good luck this week, everybody. Big week ahead.
Big week ahead. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We do have a couple play-in games today, or as they like to call it officially, first four in. Wagner Howard, Colorado State, Virginia, for a chance to get into the round of 64. That's on the other side. We'll recap our bets. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Listen to this. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. It's a good deal right there is what that is.
Oh, it's a hell of a deal. If you've not signed up for DraftKings, you need to take advantage of that promo.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. I see what you did there. Thank you very much, Kelly.
I like the More Total Wine. Total Wine, great spot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would never be in there, but for those of us that need to pick up some booze.
By the way, have you caught wind of Greg Peterson's beer rankings?
Oh, yeah.
Kid's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about that. I don't really, like, does he drink one a day? Because I couldn't have one beer. Like, if I'm drinking beer, you're giving me like four of them.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. More praise for the minimum. What'd you say?
Minimum.
More praise for the Megapod. Bathroom hygiene, bull excrement trends, geography, and NCAA basketball bracket talk. Comprehensive. Beat that. Jeremy, Capper's List. Perfect listening material for the Wednesday drive for us. SoCalers, I'm riding with a friend I only see a few times a year in person. Any advice on how to tell him to shut the hell up while the podcast is playing? I do not. Teasers and parlays, the best pod out there. This is from Buddhist Man. Question three for our Royals correspondent, Jason Weingarten. Drew hinted that there may be nefarious actors at work in the untimely demise of Aryna Sabalenka's boyfriend. When can we expect the results of your investigation? I failed to ask Jason
about that. We should have asked, though. What happened with the Royals yesterday? Didn't I see, what did she finally get photographed in public, I believe,
yeah,
is
I
what happened?
Yeah, I think video of her in public, yeah, with William. I don't know. Cash flow sports.
Like, we all just assume that's all staged at this point, right? Like, after whatever controversy, like, you're clearly...
I have no idea.
Like, isn't it like, hey, by the way, she's going to be out at the street at this time. Like, take some pictures so we can get past this.
I'm so not into them.
I don't, maybe, either.
But, like, this got my attention, too, so it's curious.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is.
Cash flow sports. Fun show. Talk about the Megapod, but having heard it, I am now convinced that Wishnev 100% filled out his bracket with one and only one purpose, to repeat the word Gamecocks over and over again at the end. By the way, he does like South Carolina. I gave that part away. But the other team that both he will landed on, got to listen to that show. World Be Free, Yankees were a long shot to sign Snell. They would have to pay a 110% luxury tax. I know you're right about that, but at some point, what happened to the Yankees that we all were familiar with, where they would pay anything to win whatever?
Yeah.
This ain't George Steinbrenner's Yankee. This is the kids' Yankees. And it ain't the same. And you just wonder, you know, because this would have been a no-brainer for the George Steinbrenner administration. They'd be like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? We'll take this guy. But it's not your mom and dad's Yankees. It just isn't. Tomorrow on the show, by the way, if you're still filling out your brackets, you're like, oh, should I submit them today? Should I submit them tomorrow? Wait till tomorrow, because on the show tomorrow, we have Peter Keating and Jordan Brenner. They are the authors of the Giant Killers segment that they do every year. The characteristics of teams that are in the Big Dance that they believe are capable of pulling off upsets. And we hope to get Dr. Bob on, but, you know, Bob is a little scatterbrained right now with all this stuff. So you're working
still working on,
his
numbers. So, yeah.
Still working on his numbers.
We'll have him on at some point this week. I got that for you. How about that?
Working on his subsets, the ones that he'll share with you and the ones they won't.
That's right.
Yeah, do both of those things.
But, yeah, looking forward to Peter Jordan. You can check their show out, Underdogs, on DK Network, DraftKings Network.
Yes. Thank you for saying.
You can definitely check that out there. We got Jim Root on tomorrow from Three Man Weave
James
as well.
Patrick Root.
Yeah, James Patrick Root. So, yeah, big day. Big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow, by the way, just recapping our bets from earlier on the show. I'm on Simona Halep. I got her at -130 last night. That's on VSiN.com/picks. It's always the night before. All picks from every host and every guest on this network in every sport is available at VSiN.com/picks. So I have Simona Halep at -130. She's -137, as I mentioned earlier. Do not let it get out of the -130s. She's up against the out-of-form and somewhat injured Paula Badosa today. So Simona Halep, for her first match since being banned from the sport, back on appeal. We're on Halep today. Simona Halep is the play. And by the way, I have Swiatek to win the tournament. Got her at +175. You have a basketball play, Kelly.
Yes, I do. I'm on the Pelicans full game and first half. They are going up against the Brooklyn Nets. A little bit of a long series of games upcoming here for New Orleans. They will be busy this week, but they have been just an absolute train here recently. 6-1 over their last seven, second best net rating in the NBA, top three offense and defense over that time. Going in to play this Brooklyn team that is just really been struggled to put it together. They look like the season's pretty much done for them. 3-6, their past nine, bottom 10 offensive and defensive efficiency. over that time. So a couple days rest for the Pelicans going into this game. They are a team I've been betting frequently lately, playing some really good basketball. You know I love Zion and the Pelicans. Gil, do I think it's going to translate to playoff success? Nah, I don't really know. But it's they're a great regular season team right now. That's all that matters, betting the regular season.
We got a couple play-in games tonight, or as we call them, first fours.
I did. I texted the Hardwood Handicappers group last night.
Oh, sorry.
R.I.P. Texted the group, and I said, we really got to change the college basketball titling of this, because I've just, my vocabulary has now just gone to play-in tournament. Like, let's just call them all play-in games. I don't like the first four.
Do you remember that there was a year that they decided, might have even been 2 years, where they decided they were going to call that the first round and
yes.
the round of 64 the second round, and how confusing that got? And then they finally were like, okay, that's stupid.
What did that? That lasted for more than 1 year, right?
I think it was a couple.
I think it was two or, yeah, I think it was two or three.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That was very silly, yes. That was very silly.
So the first four games.
Because then we immediately, the first year, I'll never forget, like, we hit the real first round. And, like, you know, in our business, you're supposed to be pretty precise with the language that you're using.
You're supposed to call it the second
which
round.
Which would be the second round, but nobody was calling it the second round.
Because it was ridiculous. Yeah, no, it was ridiculous.
Oh, man.
West Region. Pardon me. Pardon me. I got very emotional talking about this because Howard is involved. Number one seed North Carolina in the West will play the winner of the first of the first four games tonight. Howard is a 3-point favorite over Wagner. Wagner won the Northeast tournament as a 20-1 long shot. They were 13-15, I believe, when they entered the tournament. They ended up winning all three games to go 16-15 on the season. As Todd said, have you seen Wagner play? Boy, are they a tough watch. Melvin Council Jr. leads the team in points, rebounds, blocks, and steals. Howard, the Bison, win the MEAC. Second year in a row that the Bison are in at least the first four, trying to get into the big dance here. Bison actually were shown at 3.5-point favorites now. They have a couple players. First of all, Bryce Harris leads the team in points per game, rebounds per game, steals per game. But they have a 26-year-old kid on that.
I was going to say, who's the other?
Seth Towns.
Yeah.
Seth Towns, who started at Harvard, I want to say, and then Ohio State.
Right, yeah. Ohio State was the one I heard. Like, wait, you could just roll out 26-year-old, like, what was he, a 4-star recruit?
Eighth year of eligibility, 26 years old. So the Bison, nothing like a Friday afternoon on the quad at Howard University. 3.5-point favorites. I'm not betting it, but if I leaned, I would lean Bison, laying the points.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I've heard two people I respect that are actually betting this game tonight, and they're on either side. So.
Oh, they're each on either side? Yeah, I'm not.
I got nothing here. I think the later game tonight, we are all Colorado State, are we not? Or is
it
America
feels
not
like,
Colorado
It feels
State?
Like everybody on the network is on Colorado State.
I don't even know that. I'm just, nobody wants to see Virginia play, right? Like, I just don't want to see Virginia in the tournament.
Oh, it's brutal. This one is a... is a Midwest region game, the winner of which will play 7-seed Texas Thursday in Charlotte. It's Virginia, as Kelly just mentioned, 61.9 possessions per game.
Ugh.
Just think about that for a second. 61.9 possessions per game. That is the slowest pace in all of Division I basketball. That is not a fun watch. And they're going up against Colorado State with... the Rams favored by 2.5 here against the Wahoos of Virginia. So everybody's laying the 2.5 as far as, like, anecdotally hearing people up and down the network.
Really? Okay.
Which, you know what that means.
Ugh. I don't want it. I don't want that. I want Virginia to go home.
Oh, man.
120.5 to 121, your current total for this game. That's what you're in store for tonight. I'll take my NBA. You guys can hate on me.
The madness really begins on Thursday. Let's get that straight.
Yep.
But fun to have these games tonight, and then we'll have another couple tomorrow night as well in terms of the first four in. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next.
That's right.
Just wanted to get it right.
As always.
That was the pregnant pause. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.